Hello, it's Real History, and today is June the 6th, 2024, and I am talking with Robert from Alberta, Canada. Hello, Robert, how are you?
Hi, Melissa, how are you?
I'm okay. We had a little tech gremlin, but we got it exorcised from the computer.
Thanks for the help. Yeah. Appreciate that.
The funny thing is, it seemed to, I had just freshly booted up the computer for recording, so I thought, good to go, but Robert could not hear my voice no matter what, so I ended up doing another reboot, and voila, as they say. So how are you doing up there?
Oh, pretty good. Offloaded some cattle yesterday, and they're all out munching grass, so it's looking pretty calm out there now.
Well, why don't we just dive into if you want to share your setup, because you offloaded cattle. So you might want to tell people what it means to offload cattle and where you are and how you ended up there.
Yeah, so, we don't have as many cattle as what the amount of grass you can grow right now. Had to downsize a bit with the hay prices going sky high a few years back. So we're actually leasing out some pasture to another rancher, and so we dropped off 35 cow calf pairs, and then they'll just stay for four months or so, and then you'll come get them and take them home again. And the reason I'm out exactly where I am right now is because of Alan. Back in 2007.
Robert, did Alan say, son, go raise cattle? Is that what happened?
No, he said getting out of the city was the right thing to do, because that's sort of the cattle chute, or the corrals and stuff for the main herd there, right?
So just listening to Alan, and you said, okay, I'm going to do it. I'll get out of the city.
Yeah, I know it. The way he talked, he was talking about things coming to a crunch in about 2010. So he already had me spooked in 2007 or so. And so I went out, I bought like 7,000 pounds of sprouting seeds, sea cads. You can imagine all the stuff I was kind of in a hurry to get out of the city. There was black ops helicopters flying around the Calgary and stuff, and I'm handing out Fall of the Republic and Endgame type DVDs to like police sergeant guys. kind of saying, I'm getting out of town because of the black ops that are flying around, helicopters and stuff. And it's just getting too stupid in town here, So they don't do it anymore now, but it was kind of really ubiquitous, that's the right word, back then and stuff. So, but yeah, no, I just got working to get off grid, and I'm glad that, the trouble with Alan is that he's early, and if you're early, you're wrong with most of the zombies, right? So.
I mean, listen, there's no wrong time to get out of the city,
All right.
But that is what you're describing with the black helicopters and all of that. There was a lot of activity going on between the U.S.-Canadian border, particularly around the Great Lakes area, for the years between, say, 2006 and 2012, maybe, especially 2006 to 2010, and maybe other people will remember this. Mm-hmm. I definitely know I talked to people on the Great Lakes side of the U.S. border, and there was just so much back and forth activity and helicopters in the cities and stuff flying over the border. So I don't know what was going on, but if it was an exercise, but there was a lot of activity.
Yeah, well, they had these national level exercises, NLEs, and like Jada Helm, and they had NLE for 2014 and all these different years in a row. They had NLEs and stuff. So, person never knew when the crunch was coming, and we didn't know that there was going to be a 2020 coming and stuff exactly. So, we always thought it was immunitizing the eschaton, whatever they call it. Eschaton. That doesn't work out for the normies and stuff, because they're like, it just didn't happen yesterday, like you said, So, yeah.
I know. It's,
there was a different.
Well, I was just going to say there was somebody a while back who said, you know, that they had stopped listening to Alan because the Amero didn't come in to being as a currency, and there wasn't an announcement of a unification, you know, like NAFTA. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I mean, I didn't say anything to him. It's like, okay, good luck. But what did they have to make an announcement, just like the EU? Because for practical purposes, Canada, Mexico, the U.S., and more are unified into a trading bloc. And, you know, it's just treaties that build on treaties.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're attached at the hip. The CSIS is in all of the three-letter agencies in the States and stuff, and our CMPs and everything else are all one. Hi, guys. I just wanted to shout out to them. no, it's been in the works for a long time. I know, remember Mike Adams he had News Target back before he had Natural News and Brighty on, and he moved down to Ecuador for a couple of years there, and you know, my family's saying, well, what are you going to do, move to Ecuador? Well, you know, I already had kind of a half set up to be down in Venezuela and stuff with a boat and stuff, so I was kind of thinking, well, that would be my you know, escape to oblivion or whatever, to, you know, get away from the incoming ice ages and you know, the solar events and the and things like that and stuff. That, you know, that might be the fallback at some time in the future. But anyways, it's much nicer being around Albertans and Texans and stuff. The logical people, whatever. Although not that many people around me, nobody will listen to Cutting Through the Matrix and stuff. You know, you can advise lots of people. You should go there sometime. I even do a little snipping in the air and then pointing through, and then Matrix, remember Matrix? No, I don't have any peers.
Well, it's kind of sad, too, because you told me some time back that you did have some close peers who were listeners, and you could have a lot of back and forth, but unfortunately, they passed away.
Right, yeah.
And that happens, yeah.
Friend in Beaverton and stuff, in Oregon. And yeah, definitely every day. Well, that was our main common link, was that we definitely knew that the other guy had listened to Ellen. And then we would share other links every day and stuff. So we sort of had the benefit of being able to scan the whole web. At the same time, we had you guys, you know, that we didn't know you existed, but, you know, that Alan was putting out all this content that was just so, you know, right on the money, you know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, let's back up to what you were up to before you left the city and got some cows.
Okay. Yeah. I work for a bunch of different oil companies as a consultant and, in the office and in the field. And then luckily, because of my job, I didn't use the company computers and stuff. I used my own to surf with all day and stuff. Too much, probably. But luckily, I was able to come up to speed, you know, with just a lot of free time to be able to surf, you know. So that was, and then every day Alan was on the radio daily for however many years there until he started going just on the Sundays and stuff. But, so yeah, it was like a fix every day of reality, you know. So
yeah. What was your kind of expertise in the oil business?
Drilling, engineering, and supervision, consulting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I got to travel the world, you know, to Yemen and the east coast of Canada offshore, and up in the Arctic and stuff, and down to California and North Dakotas and all the western provinces. So, yeah, got all over the place and stuff, and then getting to travel around in between. Sometimes you'd be, you know, heading out of different places in the Middle East and stuff, and they just give you little packets of, you know, that you could put in your waistband, and you could sort of fund tickets to go everywhere and sort of be... okay, Canadian government, don't tax me later, no. Yeah, no, I don't know how much trouble I'll get into, but I'm too old to die young now, so it's...
You missed that window.
You missed that window.
Yeah.
It's still torture me, but I guess they'd have to want to. I'm the ranch ghost, so I don't want to mess with the ranch ghost.
No. It's kind of funny, though. It's like, in a way, talking to a Texan, because Alberta is such a similar place, really. It's oil and cows.
Yeah, no, we're probably the sister parallel state and provinces, I would suspect, for sure.
Yeah. Interesting.
I
just wondered if in your world travels you wanted to touch on the sailboat.
Okay, yeah. I was telling you, we talked a month or so ago, you rang me up, that I was telling you about an experience where we were in Las Rocas, north of Caracas in Venezuela, which is like really quite remote, and there's no charter boats in that part of the world, and so just globalists and big yachts and private people, sailing about, not quite Bill Gates size boats, but the one, I don't know, 120 footer that was just hyper deluxe. It had like its own back garage door, drawbridge, or whatever, that let out its Chris Craft kind of dinghy. But my daughter says, look at the name on the back of that boat. And she was just turning 20. And then I looked over and, holy man, like I say, they were anchored right beside us almost. And, and it said Las Eugenicist. And, and we're like, and you know, it was kind of funny because, as a kid, my mother had become a World Book Encyclopedia rep, and then we got a free set of encyclopedias. So I basically read the encyclopedias, pretty much got through them all by the time I was, I don't know, whatever grade, but, they had this section underneath the main encyclopedias was called Childcraft, and there was lots of stuff in there about eugenics. So I was kind of up on eugenics right from being, pretty young guy. So then, when I first discovered, Mercola back in about 2000 or so, and then Mike Adams, and then finally, through Wally, my friend that I met on a plane, I got the Cutting Through the Matrix link, and then, I just happened to have about 6 months where I wasn't working, and then I just typed the word eugenics in every other word I can imagine, from eugenics and rubber band eugenics, whatever you can imagine. I just typed the word eugenics in another word. It was like some obsessed fiend. And you can't imagine all the stuff that was popping up on the computer back then that was eugenics related, and Coca-Cola or Pringles or whatever you want to put in. It's just all soft kill, right?
Yeah. That sounds like something I would do, Robert.
I don't know if I'm not the person on the planet that's got the most clicks and opening pages or not, but I'm up there. I'm obsessed too, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. So do you like the life there off, kind of out of the city and dealing with cows?
I'm every day I wake up exactly where I want to be. So it's really... Like I say, I just picked the perfect place to be and stuff. It's, close enough to another little oil patch town that I can come and go if I want to, but still, far enough away that hopefully I can miss the first wave or two. And being up in Canada, we'll probably get to watch what happens down in Texas first before it comes to here. And we don't have the same demographics either, so it's quite the front row seats and stuff in a few months, maybe a few years from now. So,
yeah. Well, I think Texas could actually be front row center.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few things. I just learned a couple of days ago that one of the big weapons manufacturers is building a new plant, probably about an hour away from here. And there are several of the military industrial complex outfits in Texas that have been for years. So it's you always have the idea that parts of Texas, Austin, is kind of little CIA.
Yeah. Is it a pharmaceutical weapons manufacturer, like manufacturer?
No, it's missiles.
Pretty old tech now. I mean, the hypodermic needle and injectable poisons and stuff are the kind of the state of the art.
Well, that's true.
You're going to take out, seven and a half billion people. You can't do it with
But we've sent all that to Ukraine.
That's right. You don't need that anymore. So you can get people to volunteer to kill themselves.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is we've sent all the manufacturer. You know, we've offshored it, so to speak.
Lots of old stock. Yeah. You know, that's all the old junk. You got to get rid of. It's all obsolete.
We've got China that manufactures for us. Yeah. And Ukraine is manufacturing. I'm sure India is up to their eyeballs in it. So
No, it's the Chinification of the world and stuff is slowly coming to be. And like you say, as far as the major policemen for the henchmen, I guess, if you want to call for the planet, probably the DOD, the guys with the most paper dollars available to them, and underground military bases and, big boats and everything else and stuff, they kind of run the planet. And all of the MIC, like you're saying, the military industrial complex, the medical, media, money, munchies, and the food, right? All of the medical, industrial, or all the different industrial complexes are all connected at the hip, right? So, especially the media, like that last night talk was just, if everybody was to just tune into one talk of Alan's, last night's talk would be the one, or Sunday's, whatever, I guess it'd be.
It's a great overview talk, isn't it?
Oh, they always were.
That's true.
Just like it seems like he always kind of, but you never got tired of listening to it because there's always something, and it's just so hypnotic to listen to Alan with his pace of conversation. I could read exactly the same thing as Alan. It wouldn't sound any close to what, the way Alan delivered it, it was just so smooth, it was unbelievable.
I wrote a little thing to go along with the upload yesterday, and it just popped into my head because I don't really think about what I just sit down and go, okay, I'm going to write something. And it popped into me. Yeah, not sure. It popped into my head. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I read that. In fact, my daughter sent me a note just beforehand, and I said, you got to check out that not sure text. And stuff. I mean, it's almost like it's humble. Well, I shouldn't say it's humble, but you got to be pretty on the ball to write that in, that is so well written and stuff. It's incredible. So, I mean, just tune into to that Sunday, on BitChute or whatever, and just click on the more button so you get that to pop down so you can read those and stuff. You don't get as much on Cutting Through the Matrix as you on BitChute, it seems like now, except with all your videos. It really enhances Cutting Through the Matrix. Like, it's unbelievable. It's just another level. With the visuals and stuff, and it's incredible.
Well, thanks, Robert. It's the not sure. My idea. I started writing those, and I thought I just always want to be nameless, faceless, voiceless, just behind the scenes and write. And what I've noticed is that. Because I'm doing more talking, I'm doing less writing. And the writing is always last minute, but still, I'm not trying to last minute do a video so I can do that. And I was just thinking yesterday when I was writing in the middle of the afternoon, and I thought, I miss it. I really like it. I'm sure that people who are reading 1,000 words are so happy that it's 1,000 words and not 2,000.
Oh no, that was so well written. I was like, holy moly! You must have been Alan's muse and stuff in a big way. And stuff,
Robert,
there's definitely
as if he needed a muse.
I said to my daughter, I be wearing as a. I'm sort of going up like against the female Bobby Fischer of brains here. New World Order stuff.
You're embarrassing me. You are embarrassing me. No, but what I was going to say about the thing that I was writing yesterday is that it just popped into my head, my favorite blurb, because I remembered Alan, something that he said. And as I as that came into my head, I realized that completely parallels something that he said in the Redux that I put up yesterday. And then there was something else. I thought, oh, that's a complete parallel. And I'm telling you, Robert, if I would have had time, I probably could have found 6 or 8 or 12 perfect mirrored thoughts from the blurb in February to the blurb that he did in August. And maybe I could have gone 10 years into the future and still kind of found that, because his Alan's thinking was so clear and so organized. I am in awe of it.
On his feet, you know, off the cuff, just unbelievable. Yeah. That this wasn't like written out, that it was scripted or nothing. It was just beyond belief that he could think that quickly, or just have all that in his head and be able to deliver it so perfectly. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It really was amazing. And he was that way with music too, because when he said, I just picked the guitar up out of the coffin and, sat down and played that is true. And 1 year, I don't have that kind of brain where I remember those little details, but 1 year I said, some of the themes of this one remind me, and I said the other piece of music, it might have been just the year before, it might have been a few years earlier, and he said, yes, I've had it ticking around in my head all year. And I'm like, how can you do that? He never picked it up. Yeah. He never, he just sat down and played it.
Well, every Christmas Eve, he would put out a talk and sort of lead up to it. And it was like that melancholia kind of thing. But then the song at the end was like, wow, it just whangy and stuff. You're just like, this is so unbelievable that... That he could put out the music and also, but a lot of these musician guys that understand music and guys that understand chess, they're little genius guys that are, they're smart, he was blessed or whatever you want to call it. He was definitely given the gift of, and then he Charles Giuliani, I used to listen to him quite a bit, that Truth Hurts and stuff on Renegade Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever listened to Charles very much, and some, I know that Alan did some talks on there, but I kind of align with a lot of this stuff that Charles says as well and stuff. So
I have never listened to him outside of him talking to Alan, but he seemed to have a good brain to think pretty independently.
Well, he knew that, the religious side of mind control and social control and stuff was a big, big component of it and stuff, and still is. It's still one of the main, Washington and then the City of London and, District of Columbia, I guess you want to call it, the city states and stuff, the Vatican, the three city states that kind of run the planet and it's really the black nobility, the multi-trillionaires, the guys that have like 104 trillion in a bank account and stuff, they're the big guns and stuff behind all this and stuff, not the Gateses and the little guys with the billions right there.
Yes,
pretty far down the ladder. And politicians aren't even on the scale, and outside of just being the henchman for the black nobility to get a cull happening within kind of a what's going to happen naturally with the incoming climate changes and stuff that are probably moving back out of this warm period that was really good for population increase and stuff back into it, like a boreal era of boreal forest and colder climates and less population all around.
Let's dive in a little bit there, because you are one of the few people that I correspond with who has really gotten into this. And so if we could give give a nice broad overview about climate. Let's talk about real climate change.
Well, I've been spamming you to try to bring you up to the some understanding of what I've been exposed to, because back when I first discovered Alan, pretty much I got reading Robert Felix's books, Not by Fire but by Ice, and also Magnetic Reversals and Evolutionary Leaps. So serendipitously, whatever. It was just logical for me to, you know, understanding ranching and eugenics, and from an early age, it's kind of just all just like a picture puzzle kind of fit together that we need to cull population and stuff for to manage the right size of the herd and stuff. So I became, I guess, under the Electric Universe kind of umbrella of guys that understand, you know, cosmic cycles. And because, I mean, Ellen used to take the, you know, the 50,000 foot view of the, or 50,000 mile kind of view, you know, above the Earth and looking down on it, and it didn't, can't decode anything, you know, as far as optimism or, you know, toxic optimism or whatever. He just laid it out. So basically it just seems logical that there's a reason why now. Like, nobody wants to talk about the why now. Why is there 9/11s now, or why are we getting into the 2020 situations now, or up till where we are here is it's an agenda to so anyways, yeah, I took geology geophysics in school. That's what I understand, and a lot of glaciation, and I know that these glaciers are cyclical. Like out of every 100,000 years, you've got 90,000 years or so of like 2 miles of ice over top of Canada and down into the middle of the States, and then you've got about 10,000 year warm periods, and then within that 10,000 years you've got all these basically boreal era kind of forests where the glaciers didn't go. We've been in an ice age for 2 million years with like 20 ice ages of two miles of ice over Canada. We've lived through already and stuff. We survived, but because the equator doesn't get covered over. So, anyways, we're within that 10,000 years of interglacials. We have these little warm periods, like the medieval warm period and stuff. And then you got most of the time, if you got like Maunder minimum and Dalton minimums and Sporer minimums and all these different, which are not minimums, they're normals. So we just revert back to the normal every so often, like we are right now again. Like we were in the 1600s, 1300s, 1800s. It's just a cycle. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. It's a cycle, is Robert Felix's quote from his books. And so, yeah, it's.
Can I ask a question here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. The cycle, have you examined or studied what causes the cycle? How is the cycle explained by somebody like Felix or yourself?
There's pulses or cyclical events, like just like night and day and winter and summer and stuff that happen within the universe and the galaxy or whatever level of if you understand the electric universe and the interconnectedness and the filaments that are attached between the planets and the sun and the Birkeland currents and all of that kind of techno stuff that has to do with plasma and plasma astrophysics. It's just a cycle. I mean, we're just a speck of nothing in the universe, and time scales and stuff like that are just, when you're talking only 200 year cycles compared to 1,000 years and 4,000 years and then multi-million year cycles and stuff. It's just a cycle. And this is the short cycle that happens. You know, they just don't teach this in school, that these glacial cycles and these mini warm periods, ice ages, and many warm period. They don't teach this because the masses are—they're not rated for this level of understanding and stuff. You know, even when I first discovered Ellen, and I had that 6 months off, and I was taking eugenics in the computer and everything else. I never searched on one word. All we had to search on two words, right? Like eugenics, something else attached. And I wouldn't even sit next to my front room window in my house because it was like, with computer wise and stuff like that, I actually sat back in the middle of the house. I was like, I'm not supposed to be knowing all this stuff, this is the general masses, I'm not supposed to know that they're in the middle of a call here, right? But,
Well, Robert, you make me think, do you remember that Monty Python sketch where they come in, they want the liver? So they explain to the husband and wife how vast the universe is. Have you never seen that?
I watch most of the Monty Pythons and stuff, and it was like I watched almost all of them. And in fact, my kid's watching Monty Python, so I know I've seen things like that before where they're like explaining.
I think I'm going to have to plug that little bit in. It's only like couple of minutes. Can I have your liver? So, okay, Robert, yeah, you can have my liver. I feel so small and insignificant.
Can we have your liver then?
I'd be scared. All right.
I'll tell you what. Look, listen to this.
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour, that's orbiting at 90 miles a second, so it's reckoned, a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day in an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. Keeps on expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz, as fast as it can go at the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth, and pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
Makes you feel so sort of insignificant, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Can we have your liver then?
Yeah, all right, you talk me into it.
Eric!
Yeah. No, it's really easy if you do cosmic physics type stuff, understanding that, you definitely recognize. Like it's even what's happening on the planet with regard to culls and stuff. It's all so insignificant. There's been we're in the middle of the sixth, or maybe this beginning of the sixth mass extinction and stuff. There's been five in the last 4.5 billion years, and this is the sixth one, and it's just going on right now with the amount of animals that are disappearing. It's like, it's not maybe that this is happening, but we're also at the point in history where the most number of species that ever existed exist right now and stuff. And so the rate of decline right now is into the hundreds to thousands of times the normal background rate of extinctions and stuff. So,
well, what is interesting, because I did look at that you sent me this morning.
Oh.
And what was interesting to me about that was the way in which they put it across, it's our fault. Whereas at they're studying these cycles. They understand what's going on at the highest levels. They understand what's going on, but it has to be our fault. That's so important that we feel responsible for it, so that we will hasten our demise, you know?
Yeah. No, it's if you're trying to do a cull and you can get the population to think that they're the problem. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We used to have like 30 to 60 million buffalo on the planet, on North America here, and now they went down to like 400 or so, and then they brought it back up again with domestication, whatever you call that. Anyways, there definitely is an effect, I think, with humans on different things, but
yes.
the big cycles are cosmic. I mean, we've got grand solar minimums that are happening. Like we're in like solar cycle number 25 right now, and the way that the graphs are, if you look into like Rolf Witski Ice Age Ahead, and then Robert Felix Ice Age Now, both of these guys have died in the last few years here. In fact, almost all around the same time that Alan died, and even Wal Thornhill. You know, from Electric Ice Age and stuff, all of these major, Ice Age gurus and, you know, pass away. But they're still like, I guess, you know, what's up with that or Electroverse and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's guys that are still pointing out the stuff, but it's not to the extent that's, or the simplicity that Rolf did and Robert Felix and stuff, who I actually got to interact a little bit with and stuff, with the emails and then commenting on their websites and stuff. It's, so I was actually trying to basically do a merger, a mind meld of the guys from the Ice Age to the eugenics side of things, and the rationale for, you know, just like if you're going into the winter with a bunch of cows and you don't have enough feed, you get rid of cows, and then you right size the herd to get through the winter. And that's, I mean, it's just ranch management, and like Charles Fort with, we're on a giant ranch ball in effect, and where mm-hmm. somebody owns you, right? So,
mm-hmm.
but you can play sort of musical chairs or chess, for pink slips, if you want to call it that, with the globalists and stuff to get extended playtime on the pasture. If you're, luckily Alan was giving us a heads up. I mean, talking the vaccine, the selective weapons of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2006 and 7 and stuff, and that's exactly why I wanted to get away from the talked to my family about it, got them to watch even Plato's Cave animation, and saying with the screens going to be the biggest, deadliest weapon that they've got, the television.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're killing everybody's with the television easily. Uh-huh. And stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Spook everybody. But Alan, so he put that out. Like, how many different anti-television type vids did he put out, or talks and stuff? He says, "Don't watch the television," So
completely hypnotic, and people have no idea. And I really put the internet right up there. People say, "Well, I don't watch television," but they might be consuming hours and hours and hours of videos on the internet, and that is just as managed propaganda-wise as the television ever was. And you have no idea, flicker rates and all of that.
Well, just like that PNAS, that PNAS, National Science deal for the states there,
mm-hmm.
they got to swing everything over to, it's discernment. Like people, like when you listen to Alan, you listen to other people, you have to use discernment, and it comes down to who is the most trustable guy that you could possibly find on the internet. And out of all of them, Alan was the top of the heap, right? So nobody had more character or integrity than Alan that I could see and stuff. So I told my kids lots of times that something should happen to me, you just follow what Alan's talking about. He'd be the go-to guide for the rest of your lives and stuff, as long as possible, so.
Well, that's nice. That's a really,
definitely.
I feel that way, definitely. And it's great that you've passed that on to your children. And I know that they're receptive. You've told me stories about your daughter, and, they're receptive to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. In fact, she was out on the farm here at ranch here just the last weekend here, and we were watching that your interview with Monica. She was kind of half sleeping on the couch, and I says, "Here, look at that." And he put up this banner at the end of the talk, like, who was going to come next? It's like, what? Well, you should hang tough and you can say hi to Melissa. Because she actually she's the sane one, actually, when it comes to, it's a little more kind of refined, I think, with her choice of words and stuff. she's a professional millennial, I think, in lots of ways, but she understands all of the... She, in fact, when she's working at the big oil companies downtown and stuff before, like in risk management and trading and stuff like that, and the guys used to call her Dark Star. Because she knew too much about the end of the...
That's very funny. Well, you'll have to tell her that she'll need to do a real history. We'll get the daughter's perspective.
She'll hear this talk here. So. Yeah.
Well, there is a woman. She is a PhD astrophysics, and I'm sorry, you will figure out who I'm talking about.
Valentina.
Yes.
Zarkova.
Yes, I would like to talk to Valentina, but I'm not really equipped. So maybe you could join me on a talk with her, because don't you think that she'd be really good for Alan's listeners in terms of solar minimums, and don't you think she could put this across in a way that would be useful?
I always thought that, no, I don't. I have no contact with Valentina and stuff. She's pretty high level intellect professor type, in Russia, I think. And she does
interviews. I mean, I'm saying I would approach her. I would approach her. I've seen her do YouTube interviews.
Okay.
So I mean, why not talk to me?
Yeah. there was another. Yeah, for sure. I was always hoping that you and David Dubine and stuff from Adapt 2030, because he's definitely. Like he talked with Rolf before in interviews back in like 2018 or so, but Valentina is definitely the bleeding edge of basically the solar minimums and sunspot. You know, the solar sort of like we have like 11 year cycle of sunspots. In fact, that's because it just lines up with the sun's reversal of the poles. Like the sun does a magnetic reversal every 11 years, right? So it goes from north to south, south to north, and its poles, and then we have a sunspot cycle that starts and stops every 11 years and stuff. So you can see how interconnected the sun and the earth are here. So, with regard to weather and things like that. And so right now we're at the peak of 25 here, solar cycle 25. And the way they started off with the numbering is that they got looking at the sun through telescopes when they first discovered the telescopes, and then they were, projecting onto a piece of paper. So they weren't looking at the sun through a telescope, but, and then they would count sunspots and they would actually keep track. And so this is the 25th 11-year type cycle since they started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, Valentina definitely charted this out, and she's at the front edge. I mean, there's a lot of guys that go back with Ice Age, stuff, Velikovsky and all of these guys with regard to Electric Universe, they're all up on this. None of this stuff, just like with H.G. Wells and stuff, this all goes back basically to the early 1800s, when you've got the geological societies like the Royal Geological Society of England and Ireland and New York and all these guys. They've known for like a couple hundred years at least, if not centuries or thousands of years, and we've been smart 5 or 10 times before this interglacial period and stuff, because you can see all the underwater cities that are being exposed now, and revealed and stuff, and Göbekli Tepe and all these different, Turkish and different Middle Eastern cities that are buried on purpose, and that's like we've been smart many times before right now, that's for sure.
Well, it's interesting to me about Valentina. If you look at her education and her academic career, is impeccable in that world. She is incredibly well educated, well trained, and has a great academic position, and she has been vilified for putting this information out. It's amazing she's held on to her job. But when I look her up and just kind of do different searches about her, I can find all kinds of people in the academic world mocking her and trying to punch holes in her idea.
Like Robert Felix, there's a website called The Rational Wiki. And that's all they do is they just bash all the intellects that not Alan and not Rolf Witski, but different guys are immune to the Rational Wiki, and then like this whole discernment with this PNAS article that you read this morning. They're always going to swing things over to the climate. Like if I ask you a question, how much CO2 is in the air? Can you tell me?
No.
Yes, you can.
I can't. I can't. Sorry.
Okay, give me a rough guess.
No, I'm not going to do that. Just tell me.
Half the people in the world, they'll say 40% or 5% or whatever, and it's.
Oh, it's, I would think it would be really, really high.
Well, it's 0.04%, or it's one part in 2,500, and it's an essential trace gas, necessary for all life on Earth to exist. And so, if you imagine a jar of jelly beans of white jelly beans, 2,500 jelly beans in a jar, and you had one black jelly bean which represented the CO2. And if everybody was to have this mental picture in their head that the globalists want to take away this last black jelly bean that's necessary for life, you know what their agenda is. You're the carbon they want to get rid of.
Yes.
It's people just have no clue. And everybody talks, we got too much CO2, but they don't know how. And we're down at almost the lowest level that we've been in all of the geological history. You can tell from, little bubbles in amber, like old petrified or solidified, sap, whatever, and they can take a sampling of the CO2 out of there. And the lowest it's ever been is down, around the 300 mark. If it goes to 200, for sure, everything's dead. And we're barely we're at one part in 2,500. If it goes to one part in 3,000, we're at the verge of dying. And then anything below that, we're done for. So it's just, but to get that mental picture into people, they just don't care. I can ask some of my relatives and stuff, every time I've come, say, do you know how much CO2 is in the air? And they won't remember from the last time you talked to them, and you'll explain the whole thing. It's just like water off a duck's back. There's it's not necessary for me to memorize that kind of number. So I just know we got too much because the TV says so.
Oh yeah. Well, the black jelly bean is a good visual. I won't forget that.
Oh, good. Yeah. No, that's right. Once you do a visual, that's the way it works with everything. Draw the picture, begin with the end in mind, all that kind of stuff. So the end in mind is to have a world with maybe 500 million people on it. I mean, we were down at only a million people at the end of the last ice age.
Yeah.
So, I mean, or the major glaciation. So you can go from...
Sometimes, if I wasn't getting something, Alan would say, do you want me to draw you a picture?
And, yeah, right.
Yes, I do. Actually, I do.
At least you wouldn't think that was condescending. It's up the trouble with the millennials today. Sometimes they take offensive to anything they want to... They'll use the word probably when they should say yes, or they'll do the kind of I'm not going to answer that with a yes because you already know I know the answer. It's
you triggered me. I'm going to go find my safe space.
No, it's
that's a microaggression, obviously.
Even with the most educated Alan Happy type folks and stuff like that, sometimes they'll revert back to the programming they're getting from all the other sources. Again, a lot of them, they have these feeds and stuff on their phones, and it's hard to actually keep ahead of them from what they know because they're getting all of these feeds from just like I've got all of these substacks that I watch or kind of follow. But I mean, I can only just skim them because I get too many. So, kind of links coming on emails, 30,000 emails behind because of all the different links that come every day are the emails from all the substacks. But they're interesting as heck.
You touch on something interesting. When you listen to Alan do a talk, he'll say, facts don't matter. And that, and right. this is his way of saying that when you try to tell your relatives the percentage of CO2 that's in the atmosphere, maybe that fact, you know, the visual there is good, but even you're trying to give them anything here, it won't mm-hmm. matter because you're up against the television indoctrination. And that's what he meant by facts don't matter. But when he put things across in a talk, he always backed them up with mainstream media or news, or that, you know, Bertrand Russell said this, or H.G. Wells wrote that. So he's trying to show you from the mouths of the people who planned, implemented, documented this ancient agenda, what is going on. But in terms of his writing in the books and the cutting through books, you find, at least I find, a different way that Alan communicated, but I think it's very important. He did say this in talks, but in his books, he really hammers home the idea that we are much older than mm-hmm. we're led to believe. And I think that this is very important. You know, I've got another kind of extra real history going up, and I may actually get it up before this one goes up on Thursday. But this person that I'm talking to is kind of tracing everything back to ancient Egypt. Yeah. Alan's thinking, his research, and where he took his thinking based on his research is we are so much older.
Oh, yeah. The pyramids and Sphinx and stuff used to be underwater and stuff. They can see all of the water damage to them. And in fact, my daughter was diving the Blue Hole in Belize, and it's like 100 feet below water. But those, it turns out they're like stalactites and stalagmites down in the caves in there that used to be like 300 feet above water. And that's only 15,000 years ago that they were above water. So mm-hmm. the oceans go up and down. And what was I going to say before? As far as being smart before, in a universe that's, we don't know how many hundreds of trillions of years old. You know, it's not just 3 or 4 thousand years old that the Bible have people think, and even the Big Bangs and stuff that that don't, the electric universe people don't do that. With magnetic reversals and evolutionary leaps, we don't evolve, we mutate and stuff. So, you know, at some point in time in the past, there was probably some monkeys that had tails, and there was a mutation that happened that one guy didn't get a tail, and the girls craved that, and then they end up with a lot more people around and stuff, but who knows how many trillions of years ago, you know, different, like even billions of years ago, where you've got, when the plants are first forming, that Jupiter might have been a sun, and Ganymedes or whatever was a planet that was two suns circling each other, and then guys end up jumping off of there back down to Earth when it became, not handy to, Jupiter taking off to some other place. So people could really be a lot older, because we can see that even on Earth, how many ice ages ago did different things actually get built that were, near the Queen. There's no pyramids up here in Alberta, right? Mm-hmm. Because the glaciers come down, wipe all the history away, and then you start over again every 100,000 years. You've got a clean slate here in North America, at least Canada, and top of the United States. So yeah, we just don't know how many times we've been smart before or high tech before and stuff,
I mean, there have been some, at least in North America. I don't remember the name of the book right now, but they've uncovered a lot of interesting things in North America, but nowhere near millions of years old.
Not like the Middle East, even the southern, you go down to Machu Picchu's and the big, the Mexico City, there's a big pyramid right next to it and things like that. Anyway, there's China's a chock-a-block full of pyramids. And there's just a ton of places around the world that have, pyramid mounds. And they didn't have underground military bases. They didn't have the tech, whatever, to do that. So basically our pyramids of today would be the deep underground military bases, the dumps, whatever. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the trillions disappear to and stuff that are, You know, you got, oh, we lost $2 trillion and stuff like that. You know, that's small, that's small change. We, what is it, every so many months they rack up a trillion now in debt or whatever. We're paying a trillion a year in interest. Or the trillions are not, you know, that's the, I don't know what the next thing would be, quadrillions or something. Yeah, we just, they bandy about trillions like they used to billions and millions back when. So,
yeah,
no, it's, but yeah, with the scale of time and it's just, you know, and the number of cycles that, I mean, even they figured if the Earth has only been here for 4.5 billion years, that's still a small period of time in compared to like trillions of years, maybe, and hundreds of trillions. I mean, it's infinite, right? So it's,
the thing of it is that I personally, I think that time is, it's an important concept in terms of ages or how many cycles, ages, however you want to put this across. I think it's important for people to try to understand old, ancient, because what this means is, technologies, and it's also not, you know, a lot of people will tell you, I was just thinking when I was writing yesterday about Kant, you know, Immanuel Kant, and saying, right. We're always progressing. Well, rubbish progress. I mean, we've had ages of the highest science, the highest technology that have come and gone. Where, you know, progress is only where they want to move you to. And so if you can understand we're really old, this isn't to make you feel insignificant. It's to allow you to glimpse the con.
Mm-hmm. Well, like was it Karl Rove, whatever? I just popped this up on my screen. It says his quote was, "It's not the way the world really works anymore." He continued, "We're an empire now, and we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality judiciously as you will, we'll act again, creating our own new realities, which you can study too. And that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do. So we're just." The cattle on the ranch watching what the ranchers are doing, and people like you and I that are, we're not high profile, we're not probably going to get sniped for having this conversation and stuff. Not like
I don't know. Keep your head down, Robert.
Oh. Well, I guess I'm sort of anticipating that sometimes they want to come on out and stuff like that.
Really, what Karl Rove's comment is great, and it reminds me of Plato's cave, which is another way of looking at it.
Right.
It's whatever belief system that you choose to keep yourself in. You've allowed yourself to be in Plato's cave. You just have to keep coming out. You know, that was the beauty of Alan. Get that bird's eye view. Fly high over time and space and look down and see it from a different perspective because, you know, crude, but it's harder to con someone who says to themselves, I suspect that they really know how to pull the wool over our eyes. Seeing how long they've been around.
Well, it's like 300 BC and the guy's already explaining screens. So it's, and then if you show this to the, like you say, even your, like all my relatives are all vaxxed up and they're all, you know, quite religious, you know, Catholic thinking people. And so then you're almost handicapping them by trying to help them because if they might discover things on their own, but if it didn't come through somebody that they think is insane, well, then they might have, you know, actually, you know, avoided some of the poisons and avoided the traps and stuff, you know. Then if it comes from the it's all about the source, right? I mean, it's, you know, if you get stuff from an Alan Watt source, to me, that's golden. And then if it's, you know, somebody else, some other clown saying it or different things. But to me, it's just discernment. If you can discern, intellect recognizes intellect. And I just seem, whether I'm smart or not, I just think Alan was a genius guy that I could trust, you know, and it's like the only guy that I just, you know, completely says, okay, of all the other, you never had anything to sell outside of, you know, just looking for donations and stuff once in a while, but, which, you know, I say, well, I cancel my cable vision and says, I'll send that money every few months to to Ellen and stuff for a few years there and stuff when I used to be pretty flush. So, but yeah, no, it's just a cycle, and we're just in it, and it's not that complicated, and don't to make it that complicated, but that's the whole point of it, is to make it look complicated, you know, so that people don't take the effort. They're just mentally lazy and stuff. So, where Alan wasn't, you know.
I liked what he said, that this is a priesthood. Yeah. Because that's a good way, that's a good term. You understand that. It's a select brotherhood that has special knowledge. And you see this if you look at the way the Aztecs or the Incas with their human sacrifice. I mean, the visual, if you want a visual, then watch Mel Gibson's Apocalypto. You see, mm-hmm. you see the hold that the priest class has over the people of what are high sciences, only high because they're the ones who understand that the sun is about to go dark. Right. And the people don't understand that this is going to happen. They don't understand why it's going to happen. They just know that some of them have to die for the sun to come back.
Right. Oh, yeah. And the biggest guy in the tribe with the club that says, listen, you got to pay me protection money to have the sun come up tomorrow, had the clout. And like I say, the Spanish Inquisition, if you didn't go along with what the Catholics, whatever, wanted to have, you know, a population of people that believed. If you didn't believe, you were shunned and worse. Basically, you can just get rid of all the non-believers. And so they have so much control, definitely over my family, that you know, if the priest says that you got to get vaxxers or the Pope or whatever, you got to do it, then that's the highest level, and that's part of the MIC, you know, the what do you call it, the clergy response teams and stuff. They're all in cahoots with the DOD MIC thing, and the whole multi MIC consortium of ranching. So just being ranched, and this is just the spiritual side of things is a big factor, because humans are predisposed to wanting to get to heaven, right? They're like the big retirement plan, so they won't do anything to mess that up. So let's just go along, even if they don't really believe everything. They say, I'm going to pretend to, like Pascal's wager and stuff, and say, well, what have I got to lose if I pretend I die? Christopher Hitchens made fun of that pretty good and stuff with Pascal's wager. But explanation, but yeah, no, there's some pretty, like Giuliani, you know, Charles Giuliani and Christopher Hitchens and stuff, they really kind of expose the whole deal and stuff as well and stuff. So
it's an interesting thing. I mean, we may not ought to go there because we're already at an hour, but I'll leave him nameless, but I was looking at one of the hosts that Alan was talking to, and later on, after that interview, he had become a deist. And he had a problem with religion, but I thought, well, you know, deism is really a religion. And then I noticed, when, you know, I was just trying to figure out what happened to Charles Giuliani. I think he's still around. It appears that he's took a sabbatical in 2021,
yeah,
and he really hasn't resurfaced from that. So I hope he's okay. But I did read that Charles Giuliani he had been an evangelical Christian,
right?
And put a lot of his thinking, his early thinking, had come from that. Then he wrote a book. You might even know the name of it, but he had wrote a book. What I think it was called, What's Wrong with the Bible? Mm-hmm. And he went point by point with the Bible, you know, and you know, he'd obviously read it, and he had a lot of training in it. And then I read that his track was to become an atheist. And I thought, this is an interesting thing. If I look at Alan, and you know, you always caution me against the woo-woo, Robert. I'm about to go woo on you. So if you read Alan's writing, I mean, the very last paragraph of his cutting through volume one, says, "We are spirits descended into matter for a purpose." And there's quite a bit of that, what you might call the spiritual or the woo in his writing. But I think if you, so in other words, I am saying that you can take your intellect and you can take it as far out as you can go with it, and there can still be room for an experience that science can't quite debunk. And that's where Alan went with it. That's where he went. Because if you talk about an electric universe, right, and you think about the human body and its electric system, then maybe spirit is a way of defining that you understand you're connected to something that that's not just flesh and blood.
If you've ever like tried DMT before, and of course I would never try that, right? But there's a bunch of mind expanding, LSDs and different things and stuff where definitely you can go into your head, and that's a big part of where the Amanita mushrooms and things are a big part of the religious history of religions and stuff, where people would actually have these seriously mystical, phenomenally out of world experiences, and then they would kind of think, well, that's sort of reality, and this is a reality, and so which is really the reality, or which one's the real world and stuff. So, if you've ever once your mind's been expanded, you can never go back into the size or box it was in before and stuff, and that's probably a big part of why a lot of this. You can see how much of the Vatican and everything else revolves around the Amanita mushroom stuff and the colors of Santa Clauses and all the different things that are all mushroom and type related and stuff, because drugs are a big part of the history of different religions and stuff. These guys are all through ancient Rome. All of this stuff was all, people were all taking a lot of drugs.
Yes, there is that. But what I'm saying is it's actually possible to expand your mind without the use of drugs.
Well, just try it.
I don't know if I can handle my mind being any more expanded.
It's something right out of this world. It's like you'd never believe that somebody can explain it. And people make videos. You can just type in those letters and then look at videos. And it's like, yeah, that guy, he's been to the beach. Yeah, you never go back to where you were before. But I would never try it. No,
I'm
illegal.
Not.
So yeah. Illegal.
This has been fun, and I if there's anything else that we need to dive into before we finish up, you let me know. Okay. What do you think? Have we covered some good bases today?
Yeah, I think I got more than what I thought I was going to be able to talk to you about and stuff. I don't know what to say.
What I'll do, and I'll just tell everybody else, I'll include some links and some visuals, because you have, over the last few years, and even to Alan, you've supplied me with a lot of really interesting thinkers and audios to listen to. And Alan had his own kind of origins and explanations that worked for him as to why now. But okay. I can see they're not mutually exclusive. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can have you can have cycles, and you can have events, and you can have something that the ancient priesthood at the top knows is coming, and they are eugenically preparing for it, and that can still support and be a part of a thinking that is even different or beyond, or has more of the woo in it.
Oh, you want to get back to the woo?
No, I don't want to go to the woo. I'm just saying, when Alan talks about why now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a little woo in there. If you're listening carefully.
If you think cosmic cycles are woo, and then, like I say, we don't know, you know, how the universe works completely, because, I mean, it's phenomenal. Just two pieces of, you know, electrons like you and I are, you know, just mostly just hydrogen protons and stuff, you know, come to matter, and then through electrical stuff that's going on in our brains and our mouths and stuff, that we're actually communicating and even discussing the universe itself. I mean, for matter to become conscious of itself is just like, you know, it's unbelievable. It's like, it's like, you wanna.
I think the simplest way of putting it, you know, and Alan's not here to say it, but I think the simplest way of putting it is, for him, evil was tangible reality, even if it couldn't be seen under a microscope or weighed on a scale. It was a tangible, real force.
But our ranchers, psychopaths or evil, or like, are eugenicists evil or not? Basically, sometimes for the greater good, you know, getting back down to a reasonable herd size is best for the survival of the herd in the long run. So it's as hard as it is to be an individual getting taken out early. It's sometimes what happens for the good of the herd, you know, if they think they are managing a herd. So really, it's sometimes they're going to be, you know, cruel to be kind or whatever, but it's not it's not totally illogical, you know, like from a Spock point of view, for them to do what they're doing right now. So I kind of empathize with them, with what they're doing, but I don't, I'm just trying to get extended playtime on the pasture by just, you know, being aware and having some discernment and stuff as to who's telling the truth and not. And, I think Alan was telling the truth. You're telling the truth, and you're the only few people I trust. I would completely, you know, that so far, you know, I've never seen any indication that there was like a one thing that I says, well, he's a shyster for this or that, you know. So, but no, it's.
I think that we probably have covered it well enough for today. I do want to try to do. Either David Dubine with you or Valentina, I think these would be really interesting conversations to get a little bit deeper into.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
I think, it's been a dream to get the Ice Age guys and the eugenicists kind of mixed together to, you know, and somebody that, you know, like David definitely is a public speaker and even Ransom Godwin and stuff, like, for sure, if anybody wants to tune into Mini Ice Age Conversations on Revolution Radio, that's just an absolute not miss show every Thursday night and stuff. So
great.
I sent that link to you a number of times.
I've listened. I have.
Oh.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty much what David would and Ransom would discuss, that's pretty much how I'm aligned with their mentality. So.
All right. Well, we'll do that, and then you'll just give your daughter a heads up that she's got to give the millennial point of view.
Oh, no. Okay. it'll be interesting, I'm sure.
All right. Well,
you
did
you get those photographs I sent to you then?
I thought I told you that this is
you
the boat.
You sent back the word great. You sent the okay. So you sent back great, but my Outlook, whatever, it said it didn't go, and I was wondering how did you get that if it didn't go into my sent box. But anyways, you got the pictures in with the girl on the deck of the boat then, and the boy and the son driving then, right?
I know I got boat pictures from you, but I'll go through it. And if there's something missing, not the girl on the deck. It seemed like you sent me about half a dozen pictures of the boat.
Yeah, she's got a Band-Aid on. Maybe only would come halfway through and stuff.
Okay.
I'll try to resend it. And so it goes
okay.
Big,
all right. That's great. Well, Robert, thank you so much for doing this with me. I think it's been fun, and hopefully people will find it interesting. And so greetings, all the best to Alberta.
Super talking to you, Melissa. Thank you.
All right. And for everybody listening today, next week is going to be Neil Foster. So thanks very much. See you then.
universe itself keeps on expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, at the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.